study in the Beatitudes. Number 7 in this Sermon on the Mount is, Ellis is going to put it on the screen for us. It's Matthew 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. So we have looked at the poor in spirit, those who are needy that cry out to God, those who mourn over their sin, those who are meek and lowly at heart, trusting in Christ and taking His yoke upon them and resting in Him, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who are merciful, who receive mercy. And last week we looked at the pure in heart shall see God. We continue this morning, the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. The Bible has a lot to say about that word peace. And what is a peacemaker? That Greek word, that it signifies parties holding differences of opinion who are willing to turn toward each other and embrace one another in spite of their differences. Now that can be a little bit misleading as you think about it from a biblical standpoint. It signifies a harmonious relationship and is not merely the absence of war or uneasy truce. It signifies parties holding differences of opinion who are willing to turn toward each other and embrace one another in spite of their differences. Spurgeon comments that these are those who always end a quarrel if they can, those who lay themselves out to prevent discord. We know that in this sermon here, as Jesus talks, He's talking to His followers, those who are disciples, but outside of them were the context of the people and the religious leaders. And we know that there was no absence of peace in the Roman Empire and in the day of Jesus. And He's calling His disciples to be peacemakers. What does that mean, to be a peacemaker? You know, one of the Old Testament, as you look at it, I think about Abigail. You know, Abigail, remember her husband was Nabal, and remember David and his 600 men were out hiding from King Saul, and David, as he would hide out in the area, he had these 600 followers and these warriors of his, and they protected Nabal and his sheep during this time from robbers and thieves. And then he would go on to continue to move about, and after the shearing was done, David sent back to Nabal and saying, go ahead and compensate us for our services. And Nabal said, no, I'm not giving you a dime. I don't care nothing about you. And David was furious, right? And he and his men began to come toward Nabal's house to destroy him and all the males in the house. And Abigail was Nabal's wife, and she heard and knew what was happening, so she put some things in the oven, and she began to bake and get some sides of meat, and she rounded up a whole lot of belongings to take to David and meet this frustrated man and his army that were coming for blood. And she said, please excuse my husband and his foolish act of not giving you what you truly earned and deserve. And David commended her for that. And he realized in his rage that he was fixing to shed a lot of blood. And Abigail was a peacemaker. She went and she headed off something. You know, a fire can catch up really quickly and destroy a town in just a little wind. And you know, peacemakers are those who can extinguish those flames and head off the collateral damage that fire would do. But also, when you think about peacemakers and looking at this, there's two scriptures that come to my mind, and one of them is Colossians 1, verse 20. And also 2 Corinthians 5. Colossians 1 says this, after that great Christological passage of 15 through 20, talking about just lifting up Jesus and making much of Jesus, there's this passage that Paul writes. He says, let's look at the text here. Y'all with me here? Good, because I got to find out where I am. In these texts right here, Colossians 1, Excuse me, maybe it's Ephesians 1. I think it's Ephesians 1, verse 20. I'll tell you what. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. Colossians 1, 21 and 22. I'm sorry, I was one verse off there. It's verse 21 and 22. Colossians 1, 21 and 22. It says, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight without blemish and free from accusation." So when you think about peacemakers, you think of those who have been brought from death to life. Remember, we talked about last week. It's a new heart. It's a new nature. It's new desires. It's those that are now humble servants of the risen Christ. Those that have this purity of heart. And so that now you've been reconciled, and we're called to be ministers of reconciliation. And that's the 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. It says, you remember 2 Corinthians 5, if you want to turn over there with me. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18 through 20. Remember how we're called ambassadors of Christ? We are ministers of reconciliation. In 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 through 20. "All this from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." So it's interesting here, this peacemaker is one who is someone who shares Christ, one who helps bring a right relationship between God and man. So I shared the example of Abigail because reconciliation has this implication of two parties bringing about a meeting and becoming in harmony with one another. But the biggest thing about a peacemaker are those who have been made right with God. We no longer have a heart that wars against God. We are now His friend. And so now that we have been made right with God, we now want to see others come in relationship with God. And so we are ones that live as ambassadors for Christ, seeking to reconcile others to God. Does that make sense? We are those who share the gospel of Christ. We are those who want to see people experience the fruits of the Spirit. You know, oh, what a day it is that we need to be talking about those that need peace. Those that have the peace of God on that ruling as an umpire in their hearts. You know, I think it's Colossians 3 where it says that Christ is now the umpire ruling and reigning in our hearts. And we as people of God, having been reconciled to God, can have peace in the midst of chaos. And we need to call people to that peace. We are those that share this disposition that God has wrought in our heart. And now by faith, which means repenting of our sin, believing in the risen Christ, now other people can have that same faith. And we're to call people to that action. You know, there's a lot of unrest. There's a lot of things going on around us that is the very opposite of peace. Amen? There are people that are scared about the government. There are people that are scared about sickness. There are people that are scared about tyranny and evil that is all around us. There are people that are worried about the price of groceries. They're worried about the price of gas. There are people that are laying awake at night and thinking about their medical insurance or their house payment, loss of jobs. There's so many things. We talked a little bit about it this past Wednesday night. There are things that are bringing unrest to people's hearts and life. And these are real legitimate concerns. But those who have placed their faith and yielded and submitted to the Lord Jesus and allowing Him to rule and reign our hearts, there's this sense of taking His yoke upon us. There's a sense of now that we rest in Him. We experience that Sabbath rest. We cross that water of salvation. We come out of those evil rulers from Egypt, and we've experienced the promised land. And now we're to be ministers of reconciliation. We're to be ambassadors of that peace. And we're to call people and to tell people, hey, you can know perfect peace. Are you a peacemaker? Are you one that lives out of the overflow of the peace in your heart, calling others to experience peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. Confident. God's favor rests upon them. Assurance. Peace. Spiritual prosperity in the sense of being able to enjoy rest, enjoy relationships, enjoy abundant life that Christ came to bring. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God, or sons and daughters of God. And so we're thinking about this. Let me give you a few things a few people that give you their definitions of peacemakers. Guzik explains that reconciled peacemakers are not those who live in peace, but those who actually bring about peace, overcoming evil with good. One way we accomplish this is through spreading the gospel, because God has entrusted to us, as I've talked about, the ministry of reconciliation. In evangelism, we make peace between man and the God whom they have rejected and offended. Peacemakers, Ephesians 6:15, talk about their peacemakers have their feet shod with the gospel of peace. You know, it was interesting looking at those boots that the soldiers would wear, and they would have spikes in their boots, and it would give them grounding and a firm foundation. And those that carry the good news in Romans 10, how beautiful the feet of those who carry the good news, those feet shodded with the gospel of peace. They have sure footing. They have a good foundation. They're confident in what God has done in their life, the reconciliation that's taken place, and they are on mission with that gospel of peace in their heart, living out their purpose that God has called them to make peace with others, to help others know what it means to experience transformation, calling them to a newness that only faith in Christ will bring. Man, can you imagine how people now today need to hear of this peace that they can have? They need to hear of this salvation that is full and free through Christ, who has opened the waters of salvation to all who call upon Him. Guzik would go on to say, the only men and women who can be peacemakers are those who themselves have experienced peace with God. Now it's who those who were once alienated. Remember that in where it says that you were once far off, but now you've been brought near by the gospel of Christ. You were once alienated and hostile to God, are restored to harmony with Him, and are given the sacred privilege to be His peacemakers in this hostile, alienated world, and treating God's enemies with this word that Brother Vaughn just spoke about of reconciliation as His ambassadors for Christ. Word of God, speak. Would you transform? Would you bring about a new heart? This is a little bit lengthy, but Dwight Pentecost would write, when Christ said, blessed are the peacemakers, He was not providing a special reward for patient diplomats. And sometimes we think that, oh, I'm a peacemaker because I don't stir up strife. No, you're just prolonging the inevitable. You're just letting things fester. I can do that sometimes. Anybody else like that? You just don't like confrontation, so you just run from issues. That's not what we're talking about. A peacemaker is this patient diplomat. I'm just going to be patient. I'm just going to let the Lord work. Well, sometimes we got to go speak. We got to share what Christ wants us to share. The truth of God will bring peace to hearts. But what Pentecost would go on to say, he was speaking of those who were themselves at peace with God, who bring a message of peace to men, that they might be brought into harmony with God from whom they have been alienated. Blessed are those who announce to sinful men the fact that a Savior has come. A man will never come to knowledge of salvation without one to proclaim salvation to him. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ, Romans 10. How beautiful the feet of those who preach the good news. Man will never go from alienation from God to peace with God without a peacemaker. Recognizing the lostness of those in His day, religious as they were, the Lord said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are those who go as sons of man went to seek and to save that which was lost, to lead them out of the wilderness into the safety of the fold. Paul recognized he had been appointed by God of peace to be a peacemaker. As he traveled the length and breadth of the Roman Empire, he saw himself as God's peacemaker, who had come to tell men that Christ had established a way of peace by the blood of his cross, and that through the cross they might come to peace with God. Are you a peacemaker? You know, when we have evangelism time, or when we go out to our jobs, it's not just we talk about going to evangelize, but as we go, the peacemakers are those who go out and they seek to make disciples. They seek to preach and to teach and baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching and preaching. When Jesus said, "And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth." Peacemakers are those who go and share the good news of Jesus. Are you a peacemaker? Isaiah said that Jesus is the, as he pronounced the birth of Jesus in Isaiah 6, he says he's the Prince of Peace. That quotation, the Prince of Peace. Solomon records that there is deceit in the hearts of those who plot evil, but joy for those who promote peace. 1 Timothy would talk about that. Living at peace with all men. Romans 12, as it is possible unto you. Because it's not always possible. We've got a real enemy that is very much against peace, right? He's like a hungry lion. He's the creator of discord and lies and deceit. And he would have nothing else than to have people live in discord and division and strife. David exhorts us to depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Man, seek peace and pursue it. James talks about this wisdom. And this wisdom, godly wisdom is peace-loving and thus does not perpetuate conflict, but peace. Gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Man, let's... the Prince of Peace, Jesus, Spurgeon, let's see if I can find it here, would talk about... Spurgeon says, "The peacemaker sometimes putteth himself between the two when they are very angry and taketh the blows from both sides. For he knows that so Jesus did, who took the blows from his Father and from us, so that by suffering in our stead, peace might be made between God and man." Do you see what Spurgeon compares us to? Jesus, the Prince of Peace. In following Jesus and being a peacemaker, sometimes we put ourselves in between hostile man and a holy God, to hope to be that bridge, that minister of reconciliation who brings about peace. And sometimes we take blows, as Jesus took blows, in bringing about that peace. A.T. Robertson rightly reminds us that the perfect peacemaker is the Son of God. "Thus we shall be like our elder brother, Jesus. We shall be sons of God." You know, I said Isaiah 9:6 that prophesied of the birth of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, and the angels announced his birth in an oft misquoted verse. Y'all know this verse. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Not on earth peace, goodwill to men. That's misquoted. We know that the coming millennial kingdom is characterized by peace, described in Isaiah 9:6 and 7 and Isaiah 66. Now let's look at this. What does it mean when Jesus says that in Luke, I think it's Luke 12, you know, Jesus would ask the question, "Do you suppose that I came to grant peace on earth? I tell you no, but rather," Jesus declared, or Jesus said that "but rather division. For from now on, five members in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." What is Jesus saying there? The one who said, "Peace I leave with you," to his followers, you know, that he would say, you know, "I give peace to you, not as the world gives it." And he says, "Let not your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful," in John 14. But he just said, "I've come to bring not peace, but bring discord." What is he saying there? You know, we as people of God are to live at peace best we can, but is that always possible? Is it always possible? It says, Romans 12, 18 says it, that if possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceable with all. This is the goal of the peacemaker, if possible, so as far as it depends on you. Don't let the rupture in the relationship be your fault. But remember, we just got through preaching 2 Corinthians. Remember, there was divisions in the church of God. Why? Because there were some peacemakers. There were some who held on to the righteousness of Christ and doctrine of truth. And there were some that were chasing after false prophets and were following the bad teachers of the day. And so there was factions, there was divisions. What is the beatitude right before we get to this one? Blessed are the pure in heart. Righteousness, what's the beatitude right after this? Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So purity and righteousness was more important than peace. Purity would trump peace. So for some of y'all say, "Oh, I just want to be..." There's a lot of churches that say, "Oh, I just want to be peaceful." Oh, we get Christmas and we say, "Lord, just give us world peace." What does that mean? Jesus said there's going to be wars and rumors of wars until I come back. There's going to be strife. There's going to be divisions. Why? Because there's one that everything that is embodies righteousness and peace and purity, and there's one that that exemplifies everything that is divided and deceitful and untrue. And they're going to clash. And the people of God have to herald the Word of God, the truth of God, the righteousness of Christ. And when we do that, oftentimes we can't come to grips with peace among those who don't have any regard for Christ and His Word and His righteousness, and the people of God being obedient to His commands. So what then? What then? As Paul would write to the Corinthians, draw the line. We got to see who's who in this camp, in this church, in this body, in this community. Push for peace. The promise of sonship in the second half of Matthew 5, 9 points us to Matthew 5, 43 and 45 for our main insight. Both of these texts describes how we can show ourselves to be sons of God. So we're moving into that sons of God, which is going to help us to see a little more clearly here about peacemakers. He says, "You have heard it said," in Matthew 5, 43 and 45, he says, "You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For He makes the sun rise on evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust." If you notice in verse 45, he says, "So that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven." The thought's the same as Matthew 5, 9. There must be, therefore, we must be peacemakers to be called sons of God. Here we must love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us if we would be sons of God. We pray for those who persecute us, Matthew 5, 44. The next chapter tells us what we pray for. We pray like this, that your enemy would hallow God's name. We pray that for God's kingdom be acknowledged in your life and His life. We pray that you and He would do God's will the way angels do it in heaven. We pray for conversion and sanctification. The basis of peace is purity. Pray for yours and pray for His, that there might be peace. But then Matthew 5:47, Jesus gives other specific examples of peacemaking. Love in this text. Peacemaking love. If you salute only your brother, what more are you doing than what the pagans do? In other words, if there's a rupture in one of your relationships, or if there's someone who opposes you, don't nurse that grudge. Sometimes we tend to do that. Don't feed the animosity by ignoring and avoiding that person. That is natural. That's the natural thing to do. Just cross the street so that you don't have to greet them. But it's not. That's not the impulse of the Spirit of a peacemaking God who sacrificed His Son to reconcile to Himself and to each other. So we must seek peace. We must lay our gifts down at the altar and go find those that have a problem against us or those that we've wronged. We must be intentional about bridging that gap of being reconciled to our brothers and sisters and living out the reconciliation that God has brought about through death of Christ on the cross. Pursue godliness. Pursue peace. Do acts of righteousness is living out and letting of being a peacemaker. You know, if you know that peace is a fruit of the Spirit, after all, do we live out the fruits of the Spirit? Do we let Christ guide us in that? Let us long for peace. Let us want to live peaceably with all. In fact, it was precisely because some of the Christians were genuine peacemakers in Corinth that some of the divisions existed. You know, as I told you, Jesus came and said, I've not come to bring peace but a sword. He said, I've come to set one man against another, a daughter against her mother. Remember, in other words, you must love peace and work for peace. You must pray for your enemies and do good to them and greet them and long for the barriers between you to be overcome. But you must never abandon your allegiance to me and my word. No matter how much animosity it brings down on your head, you are not guilty. You are not in the wrong if your life of obedience and your message of love and truth elicit hostility from some and affirmation from others. It's just going to happen. But aim for purity over peace. You know, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Righteousness must not be compromised in order to make peace with persecutors. It's a blessing when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. It's a blessing when you stand for truth. It's a blessing when you stand on the doctrine of Christ and His death on the cross. And God's going to bless you and give you spiritual blessings and give you more peace and heap blessings upon you when you stand against the persecutors. Those that make light of who He is, those who defame His name, those that would have nothing to do with His glory. When Jesus pronounces a blessing on you for being persecuted for the sake of righteousness, He clearly subordinates the goal of peace to the goal of righteousness. As we move toward the end, Jesus cares about your soul. You know, Jesus, that's what's most important, is your repentance, people's right relationship with God is what's most important. You see this when people ask Jesus certain things like, should I give money to Caesar? Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's. Jesus it's not that He didn't see the problems of the world. Some of you might ask, what about the social injustice? What about the wars going on? What about the corrupt government? What about this? What about that? What about the abortion issues? What about... These are very, very important. And Jesus knew that in the Roman Empire there were a lot of issues. Certain times people would ask Him questions, though, like, you know, they might come to Him in Luke 13 and they would ask a question. You know, there were some present at the very time who told Him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And He answered them, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all of the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? He says, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Jesus would always bring them back to the heart issue. He would always bring them back. The social issues were a manifestation of the divided lack of peace and dead hearts. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. He would bring them back to this. Because for Jesus, the eternal destiny of a human soul is a weightier matter, a bigger issue than the temporal destiny of a nation. We get on these political issues and we love to harp. Jesus was concerned about the heart. If you come to Jesus with a question about Like I said, taxes. He said, give to Caesar what Caesar's and the things that are God's. Somebody would come and say, if you come to Jesus with a complaint about the injustice of your brother who will not divide the inheritance with you, he will turn it into a warning to your own conscience. Remember the text, he says, man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you? Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Jesus always brought him back to the main issue, didn't he? He brought him back to the heart. It's easy for us to get up here and talk about peace and talk about social issues and everybody, let's get along and be happy and honor one another above yourselves. What Jesus would say is that we share the good news of Jesus and we knock down the dividing wall of hostility as we share the truth of Christ, as we share His love, as we call people to trust Him, repent of their sins. We knock down the hostile wall as we call people to be right with their brother and to live out so that you may be called children of God. A new heart is going to call us to be a peacemaker, which is going to flesh itself out in being children of God. That verb there, passive tense, you shall be called. It's a result of those who are followers of Jesus. That kaleo, it's that effectual call that those have been called by the Spirit working in a heart where it's calling you forth for salvation. That same verb is used here. And it has the indication of God working in a heart. And it looking a certain way. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Peacemakers. Blessed are you peacemakers. He says, pray for your enemies and greet your opponents with love and sacrifice like your heavenly Father for the reconciliation of people to God and to each other. He says, for you will be called sons of God and inherit eternal life in the kingdom of your Father. May we be ambassadors for Christ. May we share the good news, those who have beautiful feet, those who have the gospel of Shodden, of the boots on that are ready to carry the gospel. May we be diligent in our efforts to tell of that love and that joy that Jesus brings, that peace that is prevalent upon a converted heart to Christ. May we be a peacemaker, helping someone see clearly the love of Jesus, the peace of Christ. And also may we take the blows of those around us as we seek to help people live out their calling as peacemakers. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your calling on our life to share the good news of Jesus. We thank you for your desire for all men to be saved, willing that none should perish, but that all come to repentance. We're thankful for those who have trusted you for salvation are now living out of the overflow of what you have done for us, God. Lord, I pray that we at First Baptist Church Faulkville would be those peacemakers, that we would share the good news, that we would want to see dead hearts come to life. Lord, I pray that we would preach and teach your word, knowing that it's going to accomplish the perfect work you've sent it for to accomplish. God, I pray that we would prove our calling as children and sons and daughters of God as we, with new hearts, live as a peacemaker. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your salvation through Christ. And I thank you that you make all the difference. God, there's many that we talked to this morning as I didn't maybe apply it all out like I would like to have as far as how a peaceful heart lives. But God, there's a lot of chaos around us. There's a lot of believers that are struggling to and grappling to hold on to the peace of Christ and to allow Christ's peace to rule in our hearts like an umpire rules a baseball game. God, I pray that You would be so ever present by Your Spirit in the hearts and life of that troubled soul, that they would rest in Jesus, that they would trust in His finished work. They would know that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the personal God, eminently involved with all of His creation, would give us what we need, would protect us from our enemies, would guide us through the rivers of restlessness. Lord, the times of doubt and trouble, God, would You be our peace, and would You to help us to live as a peacemaker. Thank You that You call us children of God. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.